Jones Topsoil has been delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hour number two of the show starts now. Barry BMac and myself, as we've been talking Astros the first hour of the show, and hopefully they can get back on the winning track tonight. Caught a little break last night with the Mariners peeing down their leg late, losing to the Angels, and of course, the Arlington gang got a win that I thought that they should have lost last night, but that's irrelevant because there's still a handful of games out. Let's talk some Texans. The Texans, again, at training camp today. Obviously, positive vibes. Hannah spoke. Cal spoke. That's right. Cal spoke, and he was sweaty. He has
it was sweaty?
Oh, my God. Did B-Mac, did you see the shot?
He was sweaty?
They had these...
No, I didn't see the shot, no.
They had these T-shirts, and I couldn't figure out... It said H-Town in the middle of them, and then behind it, there was a big word, and I was like, does that say MVP? What does that say? And then B-Mac told me what it said. I was like, I went on the team shop and everything trying to find these damn shirts. They didn't have them available. And then BMAC said, well, they're good. They're now going to be available. I go, well, what are we doing? We're previewing a shirt that we can't get.
I don't know. You're kind of yelling at the clouds here. The shirt, they sent out a tweet like as soon as they hit the practice field saying the shirt's available at the team shop.
I mean,
uh-oh. Texans team shop.
I went there. I went to the online team shop. There was no shirt to be found. Just FYI.
Okay. Oh, well,
I'm going. Was it say H-Town made?
Yeah, yes. H-Town made.
Were they talking about Cal Sweat?
Cal
made in H-Town.
He was glazed. He was like a Shipley's donut. Yeah, he was exactly. He was a fresh out of the oven Shipley's donut when they put him at the podium.
Fantastic.
I mean, and you love this because this is right down your alley. But like for everybody that says, me included, that Hannah turned that organization around when she got more involved in everything. If you look at that today and you don't think that Hannah has her hand in his back like a ventriloquist and she isn't controlling every move that man makes at the podium, like I was laughing, going, "Oh man, she is like glued to him right now to make sure he doesn't say anything."
Was she just watching him?
She just kept going like this the whole time. Like, again, she's just like, kind of just nodding and looking up.
Now throw up the H cow and say H-Town baby. But that's fantastic. But you know what? I'm glad because it's made it tolerable.
Oh, no doubt. Because otherwise, I mean, it's amazing how quickly they
saving the franchise
pulled the 180, right? Because this was... Even Colin Cowherd, of all people, that said the organization and the ownership was just rock bottom. For him to be able to acknowledge the fact that, hey, they aren't there anymore. And he gives Caserio all the credit. I think Hannah should deserve some of the credit for that
as
well.
She deserves,
there's a silent marketing team as well that's giving him a lot of advice.
Oh, yeah. A ton of advice. I think her thing was she recognized, hey, we have a terrible reputation. And we need to do something about it. And, of course, you've got to have great marketing people help you do that and pull that off. And I love what they're doing, though. Like a friend of mine, Chinadu, he's on like this fan council or whatever. Mm-hmm. They went to them when they were looking at doing the new
And I'll holler. Larry's on there.
Who?
Larry from Stafford.
I don't know.
And the traveling lady. Oh, they got all their big-time fans.
I don't know.
There were literally hundreds and hundreds of people on that list.
Yeah, they get invited to the special meetings and all that.
Yeah, but I think that's great. I think that's so cool. Like, that's how you restore and repair
no doubt
a relationship that you have ruined by, let's be honest, this team at one point got super cocky. They were, you know, they were huffing their own farts, for lack of a better phrase.
True.
They were like, hey, we're the best. They're lined up around the door around the corner to buy our tickets and get in, and we can suck, and we're still selling
they
out. We don't have to do anything.
40 to 50,000 person wait list for their season tickets.
As bad as
and
they were.
I don't think as bad as they were organizationally and with the decisions they were making, a la Easter being otherwise, I don't think it really hit home with them how far they had fallen until they realized they had to hire a group ticket department and had to beg people to buy group tickets to come to games, because not only was that wait list gone, they couldn't fill up the stadium on a given Sunday.
Yeah. I don't see an H-Town made t-shirt, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate the fact that there's validation to my statements.
Oh, wait, I stand corrected.
You found it?
I think so.
Well, this morning it wasn't there when they were wearing them. I'm just letting you know.
Is that it?
Is it the light blue that says
no,
H-Town?
No, that's
me?
Not it, Barry.
Yeah.
It's H-Town blue. One.
Yeah, it's the light blue.
I mean, there's another one that says H-Town made, but that's not the Texans one.
Well, they
that's
did some, say it was Twitter.
That's just some up. Random.
Why don't you just go to Twitter and find Cal Sweating?
Oh, yeah, let me Google Cal Sweat.
Because I'd be interested to see what comes up in your search.
Wow. Oh, I got a bunch of Cal Bear sweatpants.
That's probably.
From, University of California at Berkeley.
The fact that the Texans, and that's to hilarious. That point we were making, though, the fact that they are now sold out for season tickets for this year tells you just
that's how great. That's
just,
great.
Just how effective they've been.
But you know what it also tells
around.
You? And again, props to Hannah and Cal as well for listening, and the marketing team and the organization for doing the right thing and righting the wrongs. I mean, nobody was a bigger critic of them than I. And I had, I spent years on air here. You know that, just lambasting that team. And I'm proud of that team. I'm proud to be a fan again of this team. And it's great to see it. And so it's good to be able to come on air and say props to them for doing the right thing and righting a whole lot of wrongs that they did and recognizing it. And I think a lot of it has to do with just realizing, the whole Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby thing was just a colossal failure and mistake. And eventually they righted that wrong. And that was the beginning of the resurrection of this team. So
I would say, though, look, Hannah McNair has been a godsend for this franchise and this city, no doubt about it. And she deserves all the credit in the world. But I think if we're being honest with ourselves, it's not that that has us having all these positive vibes. It has them selling out the tickets and all these things. It's two people. It's D'Amico Ryans and it's C.J. Stroud. That's who it is. I mean, if the quarterback was still Davis Mills and you still had, the Lovie Smith or whoever a head coach, we're not having all these positive vibes conversations, even though Hannah is taking control of the marketing again.
Well, and the other thing is, to Barry's point, yeah, it was embarrassing the way Bill O'Brien did was able to do what he did. Then Easterby on top of it was like 10 times worse by a preacher, an NFL team chaplain, was suddenly a guy that was falsifying resumes and had literally total control of the organization with everybody but ownership from the business side and the football side, because I have people in the building that were telling me just how much power he had. And then to come off of that and make two bad hires at head coach did not exactly cement the fact that things were changing until they actually got, to your point, Brian, a quarterback and a head coach.
That's what this is.
That legitimized everything.
If they had Davis Mills and Lovie Smith, it wouldn't even matter that the marketing got better.
Okay, but to your point, right, who do you think is responsible for D'Amico Ryans being in the building?
D'Amico Ryans being drafted here by Bob McNair in 2006.
No.
It's Caserio.
No. No.
I think it is.
No. 100%. If you I disagree.
D'Amico called it his dream job. It's his dream job because he was drafted here in 2006. It had nothing
Caserio,
to do with
Caserio was
Cal.
Here for the Bill O'Brien era. He was part of it.
He was. No.
He was a part of the Bill O'Brien era. He was here with him. I guarantee
no,
you.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Caserio was hired by Easterby on Cal's plane.
But he was here for the Bill O'Brien era. He was a part of it.
I don't believe so. Was he, Brian?
Yeah. He was here during the Bill O'Brien
Maybe
era.
Maybe the very, very end of it.
But he was here. He was here during the whole, when the Texans were bad as far as PR and not being liked. He was still here and a part of that when they were the Patriots of the South and trying to recreate that and be that whole thing. Nick Caserio was a part of that, right? When this all changed was when Hannah got involved and they went out and were like, all right, we're going to start to do things different. We're no longer going to be the Patriots of the South. I feel like, and I don't know this, no one has told me this, but when this coaching search went down, I feel like Hannah and maybe Cal were like, hey, D'Amico's the guy we want. D'Amico's the guy that we want. And there were even people that were saying when D'Amico Ryans was in the building that it was like, he's in charge. If he wants a guy, if he wants player XYZ in the draft.
Yeah, they didn't cross over.
Get it for him, Nick.
No, they didn't cross over. Nick Caseri was hired in January 2021. Bill O'Brien was fired after week four in the 2020 season.
So he wasn't here during the Bill O'Brien era?
No.
Oh, wow.
They didn't cross over.
No, but Barry, what I will say
he was here during the Patriots of the South era.
Well, no, that was an extension of Patriots. O'Brien was leading the charge with all the Patriots guys and the fighting Rex Burkheads and the guys that he was bringing in to try and create all
Well, they
of
tried
that.
To get him the first time
and
when O'Brien was here.
Brian Hoyer and so they, Ryan
That's
Mallett.
What I'm thinking about. So they went after him the first time when O'Brien was here, but the Patriots said no.
That is, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they were
facing
a fine and punishment.
And then they fired him, and then they brought in Caserio.
Right.
Right.
That's correct.
But that still continued the Patriots of the South era.
Right. So
okay. But, and then it was Lovie Smith. Yeah.
But I also think where you can justify what you're saying, though, even though you take Bill O'Brien out of the equation, is the fact that Caserio, like I said, he gets on his watch the two bad coaching hires.
Oh,
however,
yeah.
The bigger thing was if it was just one bad coach, it fit right in line with his plan, which was we have such a cavernous hole to dig out of from Bill O'Brien that it doesn't matter who our head coach is for the next 2-3 years until we can get on flat ground and start seeing a roster that's worthy of a better coach. I think D'Amico was brought in based on the fact that there was more of an urgent need because of the two mishandling hires of Culley and Lovie. And also,
but you're going to give credit to Nick Caserio for that after the hires he had before.
It still ends up inevitably being his choice.
I think he was on. I think that's a Hannah/Cal decision.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. All right. We can discuss it on the other side. We'll continue to roll.
I don't have any sources or anything.
No, not that I do.
I just feel
either.
Like, yeah, you might be right that they were like, well, it doesn't matter, but it kind of did, but. I just feel like at some point, like we were talking about, Hannah was just like, all right, enough's enough.
Does she have that much pull?
Yeah.
I didn't think at that point she did. All right, we'll continue to roll on. 4:30, we got Cash It or Trash It, so be ready for that. We'll give you some outlandish opinions that you guys can either cash or trash in terms of what we think about what might be coming down the pike. But you guys let us know what's coming down the pike, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on social media. It's the Killer Bees.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, back rolling through hour number two of the show, the Killer Bees. It's Barry Laminack with me today, filling in for Jeremy Branham out this week on vacation. Brian McDonald behind the glass as we're kicking around all of this with the text. By the way, whether she gets the credit for D'Amico or not,
and I think she probably should, but I could be wrong. I don't have any sources or anything.
I get it.
I mean, if you look at everything that occurred before Hannah started getting involved, it was nothing like what it is now.
No.
Right?
But I think that the bigger thing is that...
Including getting to see Cal in a big
sweaty
t-shirt.
She tries to prevent him and catch him before he says a lot of dumb stuff. Like, I mean, I think Jeremy called him a buffoon.
Oh,
at one
wow.
point. But he meant it from, I think, a positive, if what, that's possible.
What positive iteration of buffoon but like,
yeah,
is
no
there?
Positive iteration but of buffoon.
Give me a good example of
but
a positive
But yet he gives me a hard time when
buffoon.
I do the Cal imitation because I kind of give him a little lisp. But
well,
he's not,
it kind of sounds
well,
like...
Well, you give everybody a lisp.
It kind of sounds like Stuart Smalley a little bit more than it does Cal.
Because that's how, like, mind-numbingly... Like, I'll give you an example today if you didn't get it. In the fact that when he and Hannah were holding court, someone asked about the roof that was damaged during Hurricane Beryl and what the progress report is. And I mean, you want to get 3 minutes of your life back. He just basically, and I'll surmise it, but he was like, well, let's just be honest. You can't go to Home Depot or Lowe's for this kind of stuff. Those are great stores. But I need to let you know that you need some more technologically advanced people and parts to get it fixed, and we're working on it.
Okay, you don't sound like Cal McNair. You sound like Juggalo Trey became a dad.
No, because Juggalo Trey sounds like this.
No, you just, I'm saying, you sound like Juggalo Trey who went through puberty, his boys dropped, and then he became a dad. That's what, are you telling me that's what Cal sounds
oh,
like?
Oh, God, listen to
Juggalo
it.
Cal?
Yes.
Juggalo Cal.
I would pay to see Cal McNair go to a gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, my gosh. Drink some, what is it, Fuego? What is it called?
It's poison. Who knows?
Is it Fuego? Is that what the Juggalos drink? What is it called?
Hannah told me that I'm smart and it's okay.
Hannah said
I'm okay.
Yeah, Fago. Sorry, I said Fuego. Fago. F-A-Y-G-O.
I'd like to have you back.
Yes, it's called, it's like an orange drink or something like that.
Look how insane like you Fanta? Are with the Juggalos. You got a Juggalo past?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I Googled it. I have a Google.
But you know Juggalo Trey, right?
No, he we didn't cross paths.
Juggalo Trey is.
Oh, my God. He was a staple of doing a whole bunch of, like, stupid stuff on our show.
Oh, boy.
The one day he did the hot chip challenge, and 8 hours later, like while producing Glenn Davis's show, Glenn was concerned for his well-being because he still hadn't recovered.
I'll never forget.
At least you guys didn't tase him on air.
I never forget. No. I'll never forget when he did the hot chip challenge, and I was like, are you okay? He goes, it tastes like a pantry. I was like, what?
What does that mean?
I don't know. We had so much stuff lined up for him to drink. We had milk and olive oil and water and ice cream. He's like, I can't. It
and
hurts.
I remember getting, that was what we were doing. God, we were doing so either funny. Noon to 3 or 1 to 4.
I think we were 1 to 4, yeah.
And I got in the car, and it was like at 7 o'clock, and I was picking up food for the family, and Glenn was on. And I just remember Glenn going, Trey, are you okay? And he was like, it still has this taste in my mouth like I swallowed a bonfire, and I don't know if I'm going to make it. I was like, oh, my God.
What chips did he eat?
Those the one chip challenge
that,
chips.
That big, nasty.
I don't know what the one chip is. So
it's Ghost Fire, right?
Oh, yeah.
Ghost Pepper.
Ghost Pepper.
Our boy AR Platinum sent it in, and we got Juggalo Trey to agree to do it. We used to do some dumb stuff, man.
The one
I snorted chocolate on air.
Oh, yes, you did. It's chocolate powder.
Yeah, we did some dumb stuff. We had Trey read from a sex book one time. Yep. That was fantastic.
Juggalo Trey doing passionate romance novel reading was
that was
entertainment.
Top notch. Yes. That was top notch.
And then the ones that didn't get allowed, like Barry wanted to create an intern Olympics in which several interns would get on some of these rickety old office chairs that don't have a back. And it was one thing for him to say
I can see why it didn't get allowed. The
lawsuit
it gets is
better. You know how we're on the second floor and we got this ramp that goes right down onto like the street level where there's traffic?
You want them to go down
Barry
the ramp?
It was Winter Olympics. To race down the ramp.
Bobsled.
The people we aren't paying.
On the chairs.
Don't have insurance.
Yes, bobsled. It was Winter Olympics time. This is great. Oh, but during Christmas, we can go to Knicks and just have people and, what's the?
The onside kick?
Yeah, and we could do the,
Mark Klein.
Yeah, we could go to Klein's Fine Jewelry and just have people just dying in the parking lot, skinning up their legs and falling down.
So instead, you want Juggalo Trey to go 40 miles an hour down a ramp with no protection, stop, drop, and roll, and end up sliding his fat ass in front of a bus?
I mean, I feel sorry for the bus.
I mean, he could do some damage, but still.
Exactly.
Like,
you ever seen what a deer could do to a moving automobile?
B-Mac, you've never seen Laura move so fast in her life when we were considering this
we were
intern
talking
Olympics.
About it. Mid-show.
And the word started
door
getting down
up.
To the,
no.
the HR department, and suddenly the door just flew open during the break going, guys, that's not happening.
So good.
So
boy.
It was discussed. A lot of things were discussed over the years.
Tell you what, man. That would have been a good time.
No, it wouldn't have.
Really
to watch a man break his neck down a ramp.
Now you assume entry. These interns.
Yeah, I've seen a ramp.
Are those? By the way, when I showed up, were those y'all's interns out there? Those two fellas.
Yeah.
Boy, they don't make them like they used to. I'll tell you that.
Okay, old man. I didn't make them like they used
no,
to.
No,
get off my lawn.
I think you did qualify for the AARP card.
Well, it's a good thing we're not doing anything athletic with the interns. Those fellas there.
I thought
there,
you were going to light up the kid with the jersey on. I really
did. I thought about it. But I was like, nah, I don't work here anymore, so I can't really mess
then
with the interns.
Then you might get random gambling guys like I did.
Yeah. I used to mess with the interns, but can't do it now. I don't work here.
Well, but here's the thing.
You've gotten older.
The good part from an HR perspective was Barry didn't discriminate.
He had females. He had Trey. He had.
I knew you were going to bring up the chick.
Yeah, I mean, and Barry's like, no, it's Tiffany. And she's like, man, I don't know. And Barry's like, no, really, seriously. I mean, you're going to be okay. You just kind of grab the seat with both hands and give it a back kick, and you're going to be good. I'm looking at him, shaking my head, going the whole time, going, and if she face plants, then what? I said, well, she'll roll out. She might win. Trey's slow.
How bad do you want to work here?
God.
Come on.
And you thought the Blitz did it with the freaking happy hours and the stuff that they did.
How bad do you want it?
The mace.
How dedicated are you to this job?
How do you want it?
How dedicated are you?
All right. First half of the show is now in the rearview mirror, Barry, but the windshield is very large and in charge for the second half. That means we're going to come back with a little cash it or trash it. Remember how the game is played?
Nope.
Well, you come up with your best but kind of hot takey, outlandish statement about something going on, and we have to cash it or trash it.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
The clock has now started.
Go. Oh, boy.
Okay. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friends at Vandiford Air. Vandiford Air, best in the business when it comes to giving you what you want and need when you're dealing with anything. It could be plumbing. It could be your HVAC unit and your AC. It could be your water heaters and your wireless water tanks. Anything. But the best thing, the reason why I speak for them is because you know when you're going to somebody that provides services like that, you're always doing it in a hurry. And so you might rush and not get the kind of people that you truly need. Then they do the work. Maybe the work's not good, or the parts aren't exactly compatible with the unit that you have, or the new system. They overprice it. And once the job is done, you feel like you've been violated. You haven't gotten the right kind of people to help you. And now you can't turn back. There's always that guarantee with Vandiford Air. That's why I speak for them, because you don't have to deal with that with them. Everything that they do is 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back, and the guarantees don't stop there. When you call them, especially when you're in a time of need, say your AC unit's on the fritz, you need someone yesterday, you don't need someone next week, they're going to tell you that when you call them within 24 hours, they're going to be at your door. That means they are going to be very much focused on what you need done and handling it as quickly as they can. That's sweet. That's great. But the better thing is everything that they do is 100% satisfaction guaranteed. That means everything from the work that their workers are going to do, the parts they're going to use to fix the problem, the system that they're going to put in to replace the one that's on the fritz, it's all 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's the way they do business. That's why I speak for them, because that's the company I want in my corner when I need them. You need to make sure you put their number in your phone right now, because you never know when you're going to need them. Maybe you should have them check out and give a tune-up to your system now before it gets too hot. 281-557-COOL, COOOL. 281-557-COOL, or check out their website, VandifordAir.com. Check them out today. You never know if you might need them tomorrow. They're going to be with you every step of the way.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Well, here's a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Nice.
Hannah, you're
why?
It's creepy to me, by the way.
Why?
How many people every time Hannah.
Why is that creepy?
No.
Oh.
It is creepy how many fans decide that whenever Cal and Hannah do a joint press conference, that they have to go way too far in saying how hot they think Hannah is.
You mean they go out of their way? Like, oh, I can't believe she's with Cal.
Well, no, it's more
I can believe it. He's a billionaire.
More like, Hannah, you could do things. And just the
what?
People just throwing just random
like
stuff.
Like, wait, bro.
She's not available. Oh, my God, Hannah, you are so hot.
You're not talking about the press. You're talking about randos.
Apparently, the internet says dirty things to women.
What? Hold on. Let me cancel my accounts. I had no idea. I can't believe this. B-Mac, now I got to log off of MySpace.
I know, I need a breaking news sounder.
Yeah, now I got to go log off of Friendster. I had no idea. Got to go get rid of my AOL Messenger. I didn't even know. Joel, do you still use CompuServe to log on?
She's on Angel Fire.
Now, Brian, you can pile on all you want, but I've got all the ammunition I need in my back pocket because I do believe in terms of the success rate and percentage of the last, I would say, 10 times that I joined Barry on deck. Where he had technical issues. And complete and utter, breakdowns. And then he was the one always crapping on me that I wasn't technologically advanced. And he was the IT guy. Yeah, that worked out well. Shout out to Dick Willie, by the way, who's on our YouTube channel right now. Our good friend Richard. Haven't heard from him in a while.
Oh, nice.
Good to hear him joining the show. All right, this is how this goes. You already know. Screw it. You said you got all the things for your
bridges. I got two. I'm ready.
Good. B-Mac, start us off.
I think the Houston Texans, who finished last year 11th in points allowed on defense, are going to finish as a top five defense this year. I really believe in not only the additions that they made to the team with Danielle Hunter and Danico Autry as the Sacher linebacker, but the continued progression of Derek Stingley, who made a huge leap from year one to year two. I think he's going to make another huge leap. Obviously have concerns with the corners, after Derek Stingley, but again, it's training camp praise. So you take it kind of with a grain of salt, but the praise coming out of camp for Kamari Lassiter, their second round pick, has been just overwhelming. I mean, especially coming from Stephon Diggs and D'Amico Ryan. So I think the Houston Texans make another big jump and go up from 11th last year in points allowed into the top five.
I like where you're coming from on this one, because DJ Bieniemy, I think, amongst others, said that, I think it was yesterday, the day before, that the Texans defense just ran roughshod on the Texans offense at practice, and that as good as the Texans offense is getting credit for, the defense is loaded. And I think that that's a good sign. I think top five's too lofty for me. I think it's some of the defense. I think Baltimore, I think the Jets have a really good defense. I don't, whether Hassan Reddick, holds out or not, the Jets have a lot of talent. There's a lot of good defense in San Francisco. I don't think that they get to top five, so I will trash it.
Trash.
But I definitely think that they are top 10.
Well, they were 11, so you're just bumping them up one?
He said that they were going to be a top five defense.
Well, they were 11th last year, so you're just moving them up one if you said top 10.
They're going to be in the top 10. There's five slots between 5 and 10.
Well, then why wouldn't you say, if you say, usually when people say top 10, they mean 10. Here, otherwise, you'd be like, I think they'll be 9th or 8th or 7th.
I'm supposed to get a vacation from this for a week. But what? Instead, what I'm telling you is, I've given my opinion, and I've trashed
so you're,
it.
Okay.
Now
you're
I'm going
it.
To hand it to you okay. where you get to give
I'm
your
trashing
sorry
his trash.
Opinion.
I'm trash. Trashing his trash, but I'm also trashing yours because
trash.
That's
so you're trashing it.
I'm trashing your trash. Trash.
Trash.
But I'm trashing his trash.
Trash.
It's also trash because
it's a lot of trash.
It's a lot
segment.
Of trash. The way he's looking at me. First of all,
come on, waste management, finish it.
First of all, their schedule is crazy with how well they did last year. The offenses that they're playing this year is daunting. I mean, they've got the Chiefs, they've got the Bills, they've got the Jets with what you think is going to be a healthy Aaron Rodgers. They've got the Cowboys. They've got a lot of good offenses. The Dolphins, they've got the Ravens. They've got a lot of good offenses that they have to play. That's working against them. Don't forget, too, they've got a really good offense that's going to put up a lot of points, which means you score a lot of points. Your defense is going to be on the field a lot more. When you give up a lot of points, you're going to be on the field a lot more. So I think that's going to make it harder for them to jump from 11 to 5. Could they be a top 10? 9, 8, 7, maybe. I just feel like with the schedule and how much this team is going to score, that might work against them. So I would trash it for that reason.
Why would the offense being good put the defense on the field more?
Well, they're going to score faster. They're going to score
Well, I mean, they could score a lot, but not score fast. I mean, I guess
they're
going to
score
more. I don't take them as an offense that's going to be running some sort of no huddle and be looking to score in 2 minutes every time.
No, they're gonna put up more points. They're gonna score more. They're gonna score. This is a dynamic offense. I feel.
No, I agree with you there. I don't see it as a team that's like some Pac-12 school in days past where they're running no huddle all game and getting off the field in 90 seconds. I didn't take it like that, but. Yeah.
I just took the hot take from Barry that this is a dynamic offense, he feels. Well, this Justin, they have some talent.
Yeah.
Well, and then who needs Hooked on Phonics when we just got Count Along with Barry with 9, 10, 5, 4, 5.
All right, can I do mine?
Sure. Let me step right out of the way. You got two to go.
Wait, so did you want me to do yours too?
Go right ahead.
All right. Here's. Do I have to like set it up a certain way or just tell you?
You say it. We spray it.
Okay. I don't think the U.S. men's basketball team is going to win gold.
Oh, you can trash that.
Trash.
That's ridiculous.
Well, who is going to win it, Barry?
I don't know, but it won't be them.
Barry's all over.
Because of their preseason games against South Sudan and Germany?
Barry's all in on Team Sudan.
Yeah. There's your gold medal team right there.
Name one player on South Sudan.
Bobby.
You were close.
There's like one
you
NBA close. Guy.
All you Robert was just say bowl.
Yeah, bowl.
You didn't even. The bowl's sitting out, and there's still bowls to be had. And it ain't soup bowl and cereal bowl. I'm just telling you, there are bowls on that squad. You said that name, you would have been right.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Dude, they look terrible against South Sudan.
It's preseason, though.
It doesn't matter. So that was part one.
To comment on your stupid
okay, go ahead.
Take first.
Go ahead.
I mean, you already trashed it.
Yeah, trash.
And I'll trash it as well.
Okay. Trash.
Good. Well, you want to try
why?
Again?
No, go ahead. Tell me why.
Well, because one, whatever they're doing right now makes no matter to them because they're getting ready for the Olympics. And Kevin Durant hasn't even played yet. And the fact of the matter is that when they start playing camp competition that matters and it means something, the best thing that could have happened to them is they didn't win by the 43-point spread against Sudan. The fact that they only beat Germany, but LeBron played the way he did, shows you that when they start getting into games that matter, there's just way too much talent on this team. They can beat you a variety of different ways. And I just don't think that they're going – they know how embarrassing it's going to be if they do fall for less than gold. I just don't see it happening.
Oh, you're waiting for me to I
did you not want to vote?
No, I did vote. I already trashed it, so I didn't know you were waiting for me to weigh in again.
I thought you wanted to explain it.
No, no, I would say, and I heard Sean point something out. I forget the teams he mentioned, the last go around, the last Olympic cycle. But he pointed out, you know, some kind of tune-up games they played against France, and I can't remember who the other country was where they was tight. And then when they rematched in the Olympics, they blew them out. So I'm overlooking the chemistry angle. I mean, the decision to put Derek White on the Olympic team instead of, you know, Jaylen Brown or some of these other decisions. But I think they're going to be fine. I think it's a tune-up game. Once the games actually start counting, I think they'll be just fine.
Okay, you ready for the other one?
Please.
So this was a debate I actually had. I do a hit weekly on a Wichita radio station, and this was a debate
they
I had.
Have radio there.
Yeah, believe it or not. They're getting internet next week, too. I can't wait.
More than just, like, tornado tracking?
Yeah. It's funny. It actually happened before they almost lost to South Sudan. But the debate was better team, 92 Dream Team
do this to me.
Or this team.
Come on.
It's not even close.
And I said, without a doubt, unequivocally, it was the 92 Dream Team.
Without a question.
Of course. Even with Christian Leitner on that team, it was still better.
And I'll tell you what, the a lot of people, I was in the minority online in saying that the 92 Dream Team was by far the best team. So that would be my second one. The 92 Dream Team was the best basketball team ever assembled, including this year's USA men's basketball team.
Cash it all day, every day. Because of the fact that when they assembled it, they called it the greatest team ever assembled. And they weren't wrong. They weren't wrong then, and they're definitely not wrong now. Because the one thing, to your point, that we haven't discussed yet when you talk about those two teams is that team right there never got into any close games. I worked the Tournament of the Americas where they had to qualify for the Olympics. They won every game by 40. Like, the... When they played Angola, Charles Barkley made the statement early by throwing the elbow into the ribs of the skinny dude and basically sending the statement, you ain't beating us. And that's the mentality they had. It remains to be seen if this team can do that, but ain't nobody touching 92.
Okay. Oh, sorry, go ahead, B-Mac.
No, I was like, the only other team I think of could compete, I was trying to look up their schedule to see if they had any close games, but the 2008 Redeem team was also ridiculously good, but I would absolutely take the 92 Dream Team as the best basketball team ever assembled. I mean, Christian Laettner, obviously, Isaiah Thomas wishes he was on the team. Apparently hates Michael Jordan over it. But
if Jordan hated him, that's why.
That was maybe part of why he got left off. But the 92
why.
Dream
the
Team.
Reason
it is the reason
off.
Why.
Yeah, I mean, just up and down the roster. I mean, even behind Jordan, you have Drexler, Bird and Magic on the team, Barkley, David Robinson.
Carl Malone, Ewing, Stockton.
So yeah, here's the thing. Loaded. So the reason, the pushback that I got was Bird was already old and washed. Okay. My point was when, and I was getting into it with the guy that I had the debate with, and it was his radio show. But I was getting into him online because I was like, yo, the 92 Dream Team would have never won by 1 point against South Sudan.
Right.
There's no way Michael Jordan by himself would have ever allowed that team to be down by 16, much less only win by one South Sudan or any other team. Now, his point and every other person's point that chimed in on Twitter and argued with me about it was the level of competition now is so much better worldwide than it was back then. Because there's so many more players internationally that are so much better than they were in 92. So the level of competition, even though they might not be NBA players, the level of competition is better. But I was like, okay, well, name me one great player on South Sudan who would make it that this team should only win by one.
I could go so deep into the rabbit hole on this.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing to me is, to that point alone, why do you think that there are so many teams that are so much better in Olympic competition now because of that 92 team, because of what they did, how they did it, and how everybody was so in awe with guys were like wanting pictures and taking because they were so talented. And the other thing is, not to take anything away from Steve Kerr, but Chuck Daly knew what he was doing. And Chuck Daly got a team that had chemistry. Chris Mullin coming off the bench was only doing one thing. He was their sniper. Yeah. Just come in and knock down jump shots. Pippen and Jordan were locking guys down. They all accepted their roles gladly. LeBron's 40. Don't tell me Bird was done, because Bird still had plenty when he was playing. I will not.
I mean, look, if you're this roster, real quickly, I just want to read the rosters because some people might not really understand, really know who the whole roster is, because I didn't even know a few of the names on this year's roster. I was like, oh, I didn't realize. This year's roster is really good, though. Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, Steve Curry, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Halliburton, Drew Holiday, LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Derek White. That's
okay.
That's a really good roster, right? Yeah. But when the names that exist, and we can exclude Christian Laettner, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Larry Bird, Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, Clyde Drexler, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Chris Mullin, Charles Barkley, Magic Johnson. It's not even close, just because when you take the bottom of each roster, forget, you know, LeBron and Jordan, and then you go Magic and what you want to put, or Bird and Steph Curry, you know what I mean? And then you can start talking about individual matchups. But when you talk about like Derek White, and you could just scratch Derek White and Christian Laettner and just say that's the wash, right?
The only team that competes to me is, again, 2008. I was looking it up. They only lost one, or they only won one game by less than 20 in 2008.
You know who was supposed to be the other guy that the argument was for Laettner, and Laettner, he got on because he was College Player of the Year? Shaq.
Really?
Shaq was going to be. Laettner didn't get it, Shaq
could
was
you imagine?
That's what I'm saying. Now you put him on that team, too? Come on, man.
Bravo.
Crazy.
Yeah, that would have been fantastic.
All right, that'll do it for a extended version of Cash It or Trash It, as the Houdini of all things radio pulled out two from an orifice. And we'll continue to roll on with the second hour of the show. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
All right, back on the Bees as we head to the conclusion of hour number two of the three-hour show with BMAC, Barry, and myself. As we got to this interesting little tidbit that you guys are free to chime in on, but I want to get the boys' opinions on this. 9 years in a row, a team picking in the top 10 in the draft in the NFL has gone on to win their division that subsequent next year. Of the top 10 teams that had draft picks in the top 10 this year in the draft order, which is your selection to make the playoffs this year? Is it the Carolina Panthers, the Washington Commanders, the New England Patriots, the Arizona Cardinals, the LA Chargers, the New York Giants, the Tennessee Titans, the Atlanta Falcons, the Chicago Bears, sexy pick, or the New York Jets. I can start if you like.
Go ahead.
I believe that the New York Jets are not only a playoff team, I believe that as long as Princess stays healthy, that the New York Jets are going to be a contender for to win the AFC.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying they're going to dethrone the Chiefs, but I'm saying
and with Ravens, the defense that they Texans, have. Texans and Bills and Dolphins.
Okay. I think when you take Breece Hall, when you take Wilson, when you take the guys that they have around Aaron Rodgers, they strengthen the offensive line and their defense is loaded. I would say of the 10 teams, the team that I think has the best chance, and it's painful for me, obviously, because, I mean, I never wanted the dude to leave Green Bay as a football player, but I think the Jets have the best chance to make the playoffs.
Okay. You know,
because I think there's rightfully,
I think the Jets have the best roster amongst this 10, but they also have the Bills and the Dolphins in their division, which is kind of why I lean towards the Falcons, because not only did they take a step forward, but I mean, Dave Canales left Tampa Bay, which, you know, after turning around Baker Mayfield, he's gone. We saw what happened to Geno Smith after he left Seattle the year before. So I kind of expect them to take a step back, and that team is a little bit older. And then the Saints, I mean,
Atlanta?
No one trusts the Saints. Sorry?
You're taking Atlanta?
Yeah, I'm taking Atlanta because no one trusts the Saints. The Panthers are terrible. And I think the Buccaneers offense is going to take a step back in year two without Dave Canales there to guide Baker Mayfield into not even arguably, but his best season ever.
Yeah, Atlanta might be the safest pick just based off of record.
Yeah, because I think
Buffalo. And the division that they played.
I think Buffalo took a step back. I don't trust Miami's defense. They're going to have to outscore everybody.
And they will. I mean, they
got Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, they'll put up a.
Right? They have Tua, too. Depending on what
you
think.
If I can't pick.
You can pick whoever you want.
You can pick anyone.
You can agree with either one of us.
Nah, I'll pick outside of. I don't want to pick the same ones because just looking at it, I probably would pick Atlanta. But since that was yours, I would go maybe the Giants just because of that division. Might be up
Eagles,
for grabs.
Eagles, Cowboys?
Yeah.
Dimes?
I'm kind of scratching out like everyone in the top six because of the divisions. Like the Panthers. I mean, well, not the Panthers because they're out because they suck. But with the Commanders and the Giants, I just look at the Eagles and don't think they could pass them. Patriots,
there's three wild card spots, right?
But this is when the
division. All you got to do is make the playoffs.
No,
you just
this
have
is
to
win the division. The stat is 9 years in a row a team has won the division.
Oh, that's why. Wait.
Okay, I thought it was make the playoffs. Okay, hold on. Never mind. I thought it was make the playoffs. Wait. Record scratch.
I think.
Never mind.
I think this comes down to the last three teams.
I'm going
to
go, okay, well, if that's the case, then it's definitely the Bears. Just kidding. There's no
doubt. Joel would agree. He hates Jordan Love.
Yeah. I do. I'm not a big Jordan Love fan. Yes.
Did you hear the rumors about him getting the highest?
He could get 5 years and $60 million.
Biggest contract.
Unbelievable.
Ever? What?
Why? Worth every penny, Joel.
I told BMAC this, again today. It's also I think it's a more rational. It's hard for me to say this, but I think it's a more rational fan base down here for a realistic discussion about CJ Stroud and where he sits in terms of what he can be. But when I see a poll, I think that if you had a poll here down in Texas and said, who's going to have the better career, CJ Stroud or Jordan Love? I think that you'd have some arguments on both sides of the equation. I think the smart minds should think it's CJ. I don't think it would be 90-some percent in favor of Jordan Love like it was in Wisconsin with some...
Right.
That's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, that's
like just silly. If you take all loyalties aside and just watch what they did last year and the way they went about doing what they did last year, to me it's like it should be flipped and be 90-some percent in favor of CJ.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous when you see it. And there was thousands of people voting. That's organized stupidity.
So the answer is definitely Atlanta. If it's win the division.
It's definitely.
Yeah. It is.
I don't because I think, look, the Bills, we've all talked about.
If it's win the division. If it's win the division, it's got
to
be.
They lost Gabe Davis. They have to, you know, they have to try and make sure that they're going to rely even more on Josh Allen, who turns the ball over. Just ask Jeremy and BMAC. My big thing is
it's not as outlandish to say that the Jets could win that division. Miami doesn't stop anybody.
They don't stop anybody. Still went 11-6. Bills went 11-6.
I think the Jets are the most balanced team in that division. On both sides.
So you're of the opinion with Rodgers back and all of the things that occurred in the offseason, they go from 7-10 to
double digit wins.
Better than you think that the Bills and Dolphins regress from 11-6?
Yep.
And that the Jets are better than 11-6?
I think the Jets win that division. They will win it out.
They were -87 last year.
Well, I mean, they didn't.
Well, that's with the offensive and defensive rookies of the year.
Their offensive line
returning. Yeah. I mean, still a good defense.
Still beat the Texans with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, still a good defense.
Yeah, but I think they're so much better across the board.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be better for sure. They probably make the playoffs, no doubt. But
I don't know. I feel like
I'm with you on Atlanta, though. I think. I mean, they barely didn't win that division.
I think that division was atrocious. The fact that of the two teams, the heavy favorite to do it would be Atlanta because you get Kirk Cousins.
Well, 9-8 was who won that division last year, and they were 7-10.
But you take Desmond Ritter out, you put Kirk Cousins in, and you give him Bijan Robinson.
That's got to be good for 1-2 wins
in
Atlanta.
And Drake London and you know all the weapons that they have, and their defense has been pretty damn good. They should win that division.
I mean, 9-8 won that division last year, and that was the only team that went to the playoffs.
I kind of think we're not necessarily, but as a football following of football fans, we're kind of overrating maybe the Jets' offensive potential. Not only because Aaron Rodgers is a 40-year-old coming off an Achilles tear, but I mean Garrett Wilson's great, Breece Hall's great, but it's two guys. I mean they signed Mike Williams, but when has Mike Williams ever been healthy? I mean, every time the guy goes up for a jump ball down the field, he comes down hurt. And then after that, what do they have? I mean, if Mike Williams stays healthy, which he's never done, and Aaron Rodgers, you know, comes off Achilles tear at age 40-something and is healthy all season, which I would have my doubts, then sure, they could be a really good offense. But betting on that, to me, with those two red flags, and after the top two guys, Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, it feels like a risky bet to me. I don't see that they have an overwhelming amount of depth on the offensive side to be a great offense. They'll be better than they were last year because Zach Wilson's awful. But I don't see them as being this elite-level offense, especially considering, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, even when he was in Green Bay that last year, wasn't all that great. You look at the stats, he was just fine. I mean, coming off those back-to-back MVP seasons, the production went down.
But think about it, with that defense, even a good offense,
I think they'll be a 10-win team. I just don't think that they win the division. That's my point.
Think about how bad Peyton Manning was when he had Denver's defense.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think Rodgers could be anywhere near as bad as what Peyton Manning was.
Oh, God, no.
Manning couldn't throw
a spiral 10 yards. That was fluttering ducks.
He got really bad at the end for Peyton,
Total Dallas says the Cowboys are going to score 50 on the Texans. I'd bet that. Total Arlington drinks a lot of
talk about living in delusion. That man there.
It can't be fixed. All right, we got two in the books. We got 1 hour to go. 60 minutes left to go in the show. We're going to come back with a whole lot more, and it always involves your involvement and participation. 713-780-3776 to call, text, hit us up on social media. We'll roll you up until 6 o'clock, and the final hour is next. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.